Susan Williamson. I'm interviewing Dick Waddell on March 10th, 1993. I think the first question I have for you is probably having to do with our church, since that's where I know you from, is the chapel on the base. And you've been going there ever since you've been in Kodiak?
Ever since wife and I. We were married here. We weren't married at the base chapel, but we started going there like after we were married. Well, almost 25 years now.
Okay. Do you know much about the church itself? How long it's been on the base?
Well, I know a little bit about it. It was used to be an army chapel, I believe. It was moved to that location shortly after the end of the war, where it now serves as both Protestant and Catholic service. And it's never had much of a renovation. It's pretty much other than just coats of paint and a few improvements in the sound system. It's still the same old building, basically structure as it was when it first was built. It's been an awful lot of chaplains come and go, and there's not a time to be in there.
Huh. Were you in the Coast Guard when you first got here?
No.
How was it you came to be?
When I was in a missile operation in Texas, I attended the base chapel, and some of the programs they had there in service. And I got up here and wanted to carry on with the same style. I find it interesting. I like the idea of the chaplains rotating every so many years. We always hate to see them go, but with the passing of one, we get a new chaplain with new ideas, new goals, and I like it.
You said missile operation.
Mm-hmm. I was guard unit while I was in high school. I was in the National Guard, and we had Nike missiles, and we went 6 months RFA through Texas and Mexico, and then I transferred into the Air Guard after that.
Mm-hmm. So with the Air Guard, you came up here to Kodiak, or
no? I served my time at the Guard unit. It was either right after school or just prior to flying some forest fires and some charter services flying down there for the airlines. I was up here earning money to get into school.
Okay. So what year did you get here in Kodiak?
They got the 62.
We came up here and I fished out of Saldovia. We fished shrimp. We drug up shrimp out of Saldovia and came down to Kodiak, got the two-headed, went into Old Harbor, and went to Santa Flavia, Canada was there, of course Kodiak. Then we went long run. We didn't live year-round that time. We fished 6 months out of the summer. And that's basically how I wound up in Alaska. here I was working for an electronics company, and her mother was one of the group that I was in charge of, and it was in computers, and she invited us all to her house for some kind of summer picnic or something or another.
And it was right during the time of Gold Cup races,
and I didn't want to miss those, so I stayed and watched the Gold Cup races, and then I went over to their house. Well, by that time everybody had come to the party and gone. Still a few things left to eat, so I stayed, and then we met her mom's house. Basically, going together, I
think. Okay. Let's see, your family. You have two children here?
Yeah, Richard and Sarah. Right now, not too good. It's all rain and miserable weather, but in the summertime, yeah, good. I'm trying to get out. Go various places with time and money.
Let's see. I take it you no longer fish. Right, but you had a business in town. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you had, or how long did you have the business?
I had it for around 10 years under my own name, but I've been involved in that type of business for probably 15 or 16 years.
Did you find that there's a lot of competition in that business? There seems to be a lot of marine supply.
Oh, there was some competition. I don't think it was excessive amount of competition. We all had our own spot. I mean, we had their own customers. We just did our thing, and they did theirs, and we never paid much attention to anybody else.
One thing I've noticed, and Cody, I think, and other places too, is that some businesses come and go. Did you find that true here in Kodiak, as far as?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Start up and then go for a while, and then for whatever reason, they hold up and go somewhere else or do something else.
Mm-hmm. Was your business always located where it is now?
No. First year we operated was in the Napa building down on Shelfmark Street, and which is now currently a little Speedy Market. Yeah, liquor store and stuff like that. In the Napa building, we operated out of that for 1 year, and then our parking requirements and that were so much more than what they could provide. And we kept raising the rent on us also. So, not a very good staff study. We moved it to work with.
Are
you did you find it hard to get some supplies that you needed to run the business?
Oh, I don't think so.
If you take into consideration money, if you had the money, it wasn't all that hard. You know, I mean, it definitely adds to the cost and the speed that you want. If you need it real fast and that, well, it was going to cost. But if you have lots of time and pre-plan your moves, it still costs some, but not, tremendous. But I can use the vehicles anything I needed.
Do things get here faster now than they did 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, I think so. You know, but especially with the advent of UPS service, Federal Express, and you got Northern Air Cargo, and the advent of all the freight forwarders. Sealand has larger and faster ships, and of course now they're all containerized. So, 5-6 days from here to Seattle is
too much. What are your plans now for your business? Your goals?
There's I'm not just sure what we'll wind up doing yet. We hear a lot of them about trying to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be not taking much time right now than just doing it.
Kodiak itself, what are some good memories you have of Kodiak?
I think the earlier memories of Kodiak was it was sure a lot happier town earlier.
Yeah.
When I first started coming through here, sailing through here, there was still a small portion of the barter system left. Jesse at Crafts had their store more or less aligned with Main Street there. There was still a few things being exchanged, fur and a few things for money. Those that had money, it wasn't uncommon for them to leave large sums with certain establishments, either a bar or with Crafts or with somebody that could lock it up, and then they'd go off on a big party. And no matter how drunk they got and they wanted to come back for more money, most of the time they were told, you told me you couldn't have any more money than that. And that's where it stopped. Once in a while, they give them some more money. Otherwise, they'd just take and party it all up till it was gone, and then they had no money to do anything like that. The town was a lot looser in that respect. We didn't have the amount of cannery processors at that time. I think we had maybe four. And nobody ever thought about locking your cars or your houses. It was just something that...
leave anything in the back of your
truck. Yeah.
You
didn't have to worry about anything being stolen.
Do you have any bad memories of Kodiak?
Oh, I don't really think so. I don't have very many bad memories of much of anything, really. No. I don't have any bad memories. No.
seen some good changes in Kodiak? You talked about it doesn't seem quite as close now.
Any good changes?
Yeah, what are some good changes that you've seen?
Good changes. Well, I've seen a lot of changes. I'm not sure how many good ones are in there. Well, let's see. The Sealand Dock, that area is pretty good. That Pier 2, that's a good change. Sewer and water treatment plant. Yeah, that's a pretty good change. Let's see.
The reason why I say land opening for open houses is it was, when we first got here, you couldn't get a place, and it wasn't very much for sale.
Yeah.
And it was very hard to get rent, and people that rented had to go with whatever the rentor said.
Oh no, this
no, I remember opening my mouth to say hello to somebody and a car went by and I had mud all over, including in my mouth.
So this would be the early 60s?
No,
she got up here 68, yeah. I was up here.
April 29th, 1968. Came on a constellation.
Yep, P&A.
Airport.
Yeah, that's a change in
the third airport type.
Yeah.
Would you like sugar or?
Sugar, please.
One,
two.
Right there where the end of the runway is right now, just to, as you look down the runway from the road, just to the right where they have the Fish Hall airplane park, that was the terminal. The little shed wasn't much bigger than this house. And if you wanted your bags, they were outside, whether it was snowing, raining, blowing. If you wanted them there, they were outside in, on a cart. And I remember one time coming in, snowing, and there was a pile of snow about as big as the building. And Rudy had his little land otter with him. And that land otter was climbing up to the top of that snow pile and just sliding down on his belly. Up and down as fast as he was going. It was really horrendous. But, and it seemed like that was more typical of the old part of the
Could you tell me a little bit about fishing experiences? You said you were fishing when you came up here.
When I came up and started fishing dragon shrimp, I was in Logan. That had been 62. We would fish dragon shrimp there out of Kachemak Bay. Migrate with the tides in different seasons. A certain portion of their habitat may turn green. I don't know if it's something that's in the water or something that they do, but they turn green and they're not acceptable as far as food product when they're that way. So they would leave Kachemak Bay and run all the way down to Kodiak. We fished in Santa Flavia. Fished in Old Harbor, fished two-headed, and then we turn around, go back into Kodiak and get fuel and take take right off again for Seldovia through the Barren Islands. That can be a real nasty, nasty trip through the Barrens and the Tigris. And our product, we didn't have anything but ice, so we could only carry in 4 days. After that, the product will start going downhill real rapidly because of the heat buildup. And when I first started fishing here, there was only a handful of boats, and we never had codes. Canary would call us on the radio and wonder how much we'd have to tell them. We fished 12 months out of the year. Pretty soon we had a few more boats and codes to tell the cannery what kind of a load we were carrying. And then a few more boats, and the season started getting shorter. Until like right now, there is no trip season. It's all fished out.
It went from 12 months to 10 months, and then from 10 months to 6 months, and then it disappeared.
With the advent of the decline of fisheries in crab stock and other species, those boats would put on dry gear and jump in on shrimp fisheries. So a lot of the boats were dual fisheries where they would fish crab for a while, shrimp for a while, halibut for a while, and salmon for a while. So it made an awful lot of effort just on all of the species. So pretty soon the shrimp fisheries was a thing of the past.
We knew all the boats by just on the horizon by just looking at their silhouettes.
Too much, you take and dump your load. It was It was a lot of work, but not much money.
Yeah. Was it dangerous work fishing?
Oh, fishing is always terrible. It doesn't matter where you're fishing up here. Due to our weather and the lows.
That's how clean our shrimp was.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see too much fish there.
No.
Wow. That's a good move. Great
picture. And this was one of our boat was Pacific Pearl, and it in those days that was a pretty big boat. I think this is Saldovia, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In those days, it isn't anymore.
Is that a bad change or a good change?
What's that?
Boats.
It's just a sign of the time. It's just, you know, the head sound.
Oh, that's a good change. These old wooden boats, they can't last forever.
Our ice box was really an ice box. When we had that food, we had to put ice in there and put our food in there. You know, 200 gallon tank for water. That's all you had for the trip, but you weren't gone that long. It wasn't meant to be gone very long.
We usually tie up the Camry at night time. If there was one around, we would take water in. Everybody, you know, you just don't use that much water. Not 4 or 5 days. That's what you're supposed to be doing. A lot of times we get weather out, you know, and have to restock. Sometimes they can smell you.
So there weren't a lot of Coast Guard regulations then?
Not even fishing
No.
Game. Fishing
no, there
game.
Wasn't.
Fishing game came later.
There wasn't Coast Guard survival suits and e-perbs and
we didn't have anything.
Things like that. They were hardly even thought of, let alone mandatory. Like right now they're mandatory to carry placards that say this and say that. Rules and laws around the books now.
Run your airport.
The cannery, what can you tell me that cannery changed much?
I don't think so. Canneries are only changes is there's more of them. Right now, I can only name a few that are Jim down at East Point, Jim
Major
ran that cannery for Bennington, Earl Bennington, for all the years that I can remember. As far as changes go, majority of the processing is done in Kodiak and Dutch Harbor and things like that. Larson Bay has a small Beardsley's operation over there. But I think earlier you had several more smaller canneries around the island. And right now they're more consolidated. Labor and freight and stuff like that to go to the bigger islands and the bigger parts of the island. And I would say that the fact that there's more canneries here needs to change. That hasn't changed a whole lot with the exception of surimi fish and pollock. Those kind of fisheries we didn't even concern ourselves with. In fact, most of the stuff that they're making out of surimi, we have to throw away.
Yeah,
canner crab, we never...
You didn't eat that.
Yeah, you never even thought of a miserable canner crab. Usually, they were just a nuisance, you know. And now it's really, we don't really saw it.
Remember when we got too close to the rocks and they picked up the bigger prawns and stuff? And gosh, we picked them out for ourselves and kept them. But now they send pots down to us. Those were just extras, not, you know, we didn't get extra money or anything. We just ate them ourselves. And those were really, I think the restaurants like to buy them. We just sold the little tiny pinks. You know what you get in a can.
Yeah.
Salads.
Tell me what you remember about the earthquake and the tidal wave in 64.
Well, I wasn't in Minnesota. And it was 5:30 in the evening, and we had just sat down for evening dinner. Blankets and food and candles and stuff like that. closer to the night, but a lot of the old timers, Tennyson, Frank Tennyson, Norm Erson, Johnson, George and Barbara Johnson, myself, Sutherland. There was a bunch of us that were there up in the woods. And then it seems like after everything kind of settled, well, we all migrated down to Kodiak. Stagnor was afraid.
Mm-hmm. He's still here, isn't he?
Yeah, waiting for Stagnor.
Tennysons are still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, whether they're actually living. Well,
you know,
Irons, for Pete's sake, our next door neighbor. Claire was there.
Yeah, this is
Claire and Betty. Yeah.
Mom and Dad are there.
Yeah.
Claire.
And Dottie. Dottie. Yeah.
They're all from there.
Yeah.
Basically, that was the demise of Seldovia.
Yeah.
It pretty much went. Seldovia went down and kind of almost disappeared.
Actually, when you said Seldovia went down, it had settled. It sunk about 5 feet. You see, our retorts in the cannery, we were canning salmon. After the tidal wave, the retort would be, the bottom of it would be in the water. It would be in the ocean. And we couldn't cook anything because you can't heat the whole ocean. You have to wait till the tide is gone. Then you can cook in that. So there would be certain periods of time that we couldn't operate. The cans to be cooked on one side, so when the tide went out,
she needs to know that Pacific Pearl Cannery, that's where the Sutherlands come in, and you and the Sutherlands, what, brought a ship down here, and that's,
mm-hmm.
You fixed it up, and that was Pacific Pearl Cannery, so it was Sutherlands Cannery and Pacific Pearl. Then it went to Went in Sutherland, went.
Yeah.
And then Lake Kinnear, who his family is, his children are still here,
yeah.
But he's moved off. But it was Sutherland and went, then it was Sutherland and Kinnear. Kinnear bought the Sutherland.
Yeah.
Right? So it was Kinnear and went, and then it just
then
went.
Went into Del Monte.
And then there was no name on it anymore. And then they all, and then the Koreans bought it. But those are all family names that their children are still here and their grandchildren are still here. And they all came down from Seldovia.
Yeah.
So Erson is here.
I really didn't seem to know much about what Kodiak other than what we heard on there. They had it a lot worse here than we did. They had the actual wave come through here.
May I say, though, that anytime anything shakes around here, he's very upset and nervous and runs for the door. So, understandable. Yeah. Well, he saw the wreckage. You know, he did see all that. The devastation. I came when I started renewing. Urban renewal came in. That was almost as bad as the earthquake.
How long do you think it took to get Kodiak back on its feet?
Years.
Well, as far as the bars were concerned, not very long. They opened up tents right there where Corky's harbor master is. There was several. I think the Mecca had a tent and the B&B had a tent. They were in operation. I think they probably missed one or two shifts and they were back in business again. But as far as the whole town goes, they took them probably a couple of years to kind of get things plotted and planned, and waterways and utilities. They did do pretty good getting power and all that back right away, but the next installation, step two of their project, we did a little more planning than the original. That's why some of the roads and things are so screwed up now. Nobody ever planned, for anything, and those houses up on the hills and that are still there.
Was the original.
But,
a lot of the old ones.
But urban renewal came along, they tried to have a little more site planning. But it did, it took them a couple of years to kind of get the initial phase of things done.
I remember when that main road where the Harbor Master's on, where the bathroom is now, do you know where that?
Mm-hmm.
That used to be a building that was up above the ground, you know, and it had a boardwalk for a sidewalk up there, and that was the bakery, which smelled heavenly, and the bank. It was first, and it was in an old wooden building, so you had your bakery and your bank side by side in the same building, just, and it was on a boardwalk. Oh, wow, that smelled good. But they tore that down.
Mm-hmm. That was still part of the old regime.
Changes you'd like to see Kodiak make?
Any changes you'd like to see make?
On tape?
Well,
I don't have to type it up.
I think there's enough changes being made for us and by us. To us, see if there's any changes that I'd like to see. Whatever I would think of, if I waited 15 minutes, it'll probably come along. They're talking about changes in everything we do, roads, assessments. Some of the changes are necessary for one reason or another. But
they don't take the majority vote here. They do what they want. That's the hardship. It takes a few to kind of run over the majority here. That's what I don't like. That's what I understand.
There's a lot of changes going on. There's going to be a lot more changes. They try to do what's right and proper. They've come a long ways. I mean, they've got a fair engineering group for projects. Regulations for permitted areas. Those basic things are at least a step in the right direction. Whereas before, if you wanted a porch on your roof, where you go up there and put a porch on your roof.